So, good morning, everyone. Excuse me. It's terrible when a speaker starts and he clears his throat after he starts. You're supposed to clear your throat and then say good morning. So, that's the pecking order, okay? Tadir v'sheino, tadir, tadir kodem. Whoever got the joke got it. Let's move on. Gentlemen, there is a famous Gemara that says that you're not allowed to laharbot bekadishim. You're not allowed to say too many kaddishes for various reasons. So, indeed, as you know, in certain communities, especially in a certain sect of the Jewish people, they like to say kaddish a lot. And they're saying kaddish and kaddish, and some rabbi comes in and hears it and says, what are you guys doing? It says in the Gemara, you're not allowed bekadishim. You're not allowed to say so many kaddishes. They all looked at him and they said, is that a halacha? He said, yes. He said, okay. They said Kaddish. So quite frankly, the truth is that I think it's very important in our shir to understand that there's two kinds of Kaddishes. I'm not talking about what the Chazan says, the people say. There's Kaddish Derabbanan and what we call Kaddish Yatom. And just like Chazarat HaShatz, which I already established, I think, around this table, should not be called the Chazan's repetition, but rather the public amida of everyone represented by the Chazan, there's a problem when you take a term and you make an ideology out of it. Thank you. In other words, there's a beautiful term here called Kaddish, and the first one's called Kaddish Derabbanan, which actually makes sense. The Gemara does talk about it, but not in exactly those words. And on the other hand, Kaddish Yatam is not exactly a good way to put it, and I'll explain why. Kaddish Derabbanan, the Gemara says in Masechet Sota, Daf Mem Tet, that the world should be destroyed because we're all lowlifes and we're destroying the world. I'm joking. The word Gemara says that the world would have been destroyed every day. There's a reason to destroy the world. Be it a rapist out there, a robber, or someone out there, that because of him or her, the world should be destroyed. And how does the world continue to exist?
Gosh.
For two things. Number one, the Uval Etzion that we say every day, and we do say it every day. As you all know, we say it in Shachris, at the end of Shachris. And on Shabbos and Yontif, when do we say it?
No, Mincha.
Mincha. And on Yom Kippur? At Ne'ilah. So there isn't a day of the year that we don't say it. We cover ourselves there. And on the Kaddish Derabbanan, the Kaddish Al Yisrael, that's called in the Gemara, that we say after we learn. So after you learn Torah, ultimately you say Kaddish Derabbanan if you're within a minyan. So you've all been there at a siyum, at the end of it they say Kaddish Derabbanan, and they even say the long Kaddish, which is a lecture in and of itself when you say the long Kaddish. But you say Kaddish Derabbanan after you learn. So in our davening, there is a part where we say Kaddish Derabbanan.
Rabbi
where is Shmo. That?
Two places, Rabbi Shmuel and after.
After Rabbi Shmuel, or to be more precise, I love the way people say after Rabbi Shmuel. See, that's like saying, and the story started in 1948. What do you mean the story started in 1948?
When you conclude Karbanos.
The story started with Avram Avinu. He came back to Israel. He came to Israel. He got a mitzvah called Zionism. All the world was obligated in seven mitzvahs, called the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And Avram got an eighth mitzvah, Lech Lecha, which is called Zionism. So Avram had eight mitzvahs. Seven mitzvot b'nei Noach in Zionism. Then he got the mitzvah of Brit Milah. He came up to a subtotal of?
Nine
mitzvot, okay? You always wonder what they learned together when they learned Torah. When Yaakov Avinu went to Shem Ve'Aver's Beis Medrash, how many mitzvot that they had to learn? It's interesting. I've always been wondering about that. In any case, to make a long story short, Kaddish Derabbanan is said after you learn something. So if you say it in the morning after the Korbanot plus Rabbi Yishmael, excuse me, Harold, it doesn't start there. That's a dead giveaway, by the way, that Korbanot and Rabbi Yishmael is a kiyum of Talmud Torah. We once around this table said, is it Talmud Torah or is it just a way of saying we should have brought the Korbanos, we can't, so we're doing this. But anyway, you slice it, at the end of the day, it's Talmud Torah, and ultimately, after you learn something, you should say a Kaddish Derabbanan. So that's Kaddish Derabbanan that we say after learning. Where else in davening do we say it?
After
Ein Kel Okeinu. Okay, Harold, you're starting from the beginning this time, not bad, not at the end. Move on.
I'm getting the picture.
Pitum Aktoret. That's a Mishnah in the Gemara. That's a Gemara. You go on, talk about the Ketoret HaSamim, the Ketoret sacrifice that had 11 ingredients in it, that was brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash, both in the morning and the afternoon. You go on to say various things about it, and ultimately you end with Divrei Torah, Talmidei Chachamim Mabrim Shalom Ba'olam. Many people said that's the best joke in the Gemara, that rabbis actually increase peace in the world. Very good joke. And ultimately, they end with a Kaddish Derabbanan. So that's Kaddish Derabbanan. Everyone got it? Mm-hmm. Kaddish Derabbanan after learning. What's what we call Kaddish Yatom? That has nothing to do with learning.
Well, that
used to be in some places.
It's very important to understand something that's going to make you very annoyed.
It was a designated kaddish for a morning say.
Beautiful. See, Harold, this morning was strike two. This is beautiful. Say it again, Harold. You said it better than me.
It was a designated kaddish for a morning say.
Very good. There are mitzvot out there that both men and women and even children are obligated in. Men and women above bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah, and children for chinuch purposes. But sometimes we give the right of way to a certain person. For example, in every home Friday night there should be Shabbos candles in order to have light in the home on a Friday night when you're not allowed to put on lights. So everyone's obligated in it, but who has the right of way? The woman. And if the woman is in the hospital, let's say she gave birth to a baby b'sha'at tova, she's feeling well but still in the hospital. So you're taking out the chickpeas for the Shalom Zachar, and you're making sure you have a little booze, and as you're making sure of all of it, you look at those candles, you're obligated to light them. Chanukah, same thing. If you're passing like the Mishnah Berurah, which is a very, very, I would say, audacious psak, that a woman who's married does not have to light Chanukah candles, then if you pask in that way, and it's not the end of the world, because Ner Ishu Veitel means one candle per home. So a man lights the Chanukah candles, let's say, and if the man's not home,
what?
A woman, in parentheses, I'll tell you that Mishnah Berurah I never truly understood. My Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein didn't understand it. In our house, everyone lights Chanukah candles, including my wife. We all have our own Chanukiah. I don't understand how everyone in the house should light, like the Ramah says, and in their Ashkenazic home, of course, and all of a sudden, when it comes to the wife, no. Im ishto kegufo, meaning your wife is like you, so that means if I put on tefillin this morning, that my wife's a feminist. She's putting on tefillin like the feminists. I'm joking. And every woman that puts on tefillin are feminists. Okay? But just case scenario, if ishto kegufo on all the mitzvot, then a woman never has to do mitzvot, or vice versa. You'll just split it up. You know, imagine Seder night. I'm not feeling so well. You eat the matzah, ishto kegufo. Well, that's like me eating the matzah. So it's a very, very audacious psak. I never understood it fully. Now, going back to our story. After those parentheses, it's very important to understand something about Kaddish Yotam. Kaddish Yotam is part of davening. It was instituted as part of davening. You should end davening with it usually, and it's put in various places. That Kaddish has nothing to do with the Yotam, that's the right of way to a mourner to say it. Why is it a right of way? Because if the mourner is not there, the Ramah Paskins, you have to say at least one Kaddish Yotam after Mincha. You have to say a Kaddish Yatom after Shachris. He doesn't say, oh, if there's no Yatom, you get out of shul early.
What does Yatom mean?
Yatom means someone that's unfortunately lost his father or mother. Yatom.
Well, it can also technically be a brother or a sister or a wife.
Well,
for the year.
Yes, unless there's someone else to say Kaddish. Someone that's now saying Kaddish for someone that's departed in the family. We give the right of way to those people for the following reason. There's a Ramah in Hilchos Avelos that says there's a minhag, a minhag. I don't know how this minhag was taken off by the Jewish people as more important than not even Chazir. There's a minhag to say Kaddish for 11 months on someone that's deceased. Why? Because the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin says you have a mitzvah of Kibud Avayim, as it says in the Pasuk, and the Gemara deals with the problem of Kibud Avayim, and it comes and establishes that this mitzvah continues even after the parent dies. Now, kibud avaim doesn't mean being nice to your parents. Kibud avaim means giving service to your parents. Namely, giving him water, taking him to a doctor's appointment. That's kibud avaim. Yirat avaim, ish imo ve'aviv tirau, the beginning of Parshat Kedoshim, means all the respect we give to parents. But kibud avaim is service, it's physical service. So obviously, physical service is dependent on the parent. If you go to the parent, can I give you a cup of tea? And the parent says back, what do you think I am, handicapped? I can't get it myself? And you say, no, I want to do the mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah. A mitzvah is giving service to the parents when they need it. If they don't need it, they don't need it. Imagine if a guy gets a license, he's a 19-year-old hotshot, he gets his driver's license, and he's so excited, he says, hey, mom, can I drive you to work? The mother doesn't want to drive with his son. She's getting a heart attack the very fact that he got a license. So ultimately, she says, no. So what are you going to say? No, I got a mitzvah from the Torah. I get into the car, I'm tying you down, and I'm driving you. Service is based on what the parents need. There's only one problem. That's if parents can talk. After they're dead, unfortunately, they can't talk to you. So just in case, they're in Gehenna, the Ramah brings a custom, you can give them service even after they die. How? by saying Kaddish, and ultimately this would help them in the other worlds. Now, we don't know how it works, we were never there, but the bottom line is, that's why you say Kaddish. So, if that's the case, so what do we say? We say, hey, you can kill two birds with one stone. Kill. The guy, not kill, he's already dead, that's not going to happen. Ultimately, the person, God forbid, is getting Gehenna. So what are we going to do? We have to say Kaddish anyway. So we'll give it to the Yatom, who basically can do two things at once, also serve as his parents, and say Kaddish for all of us. However, if there is no Yatom, Kaddish should be said. Now comes the tricky part. You don't have to say all the Kaddishes. It's not like all the Kaddishes are there. At least one Kaddish. Let's say on Shen Shachris, if you're in Nusach Ashkenaz, after Aleinu, one Kaddish. Okay? That Kaddish that you say after Aleinu, or let's say on Shabbos after Musaf, one of the, not the Kaddish Al Yisrael that we talked about, the Kaddish Yatom, that Kaddish, ultimately, who can say it?
Anybody.
So if you would have asked me, I would have said anybody too. I would have said, well, it's a Kaddish. What does Kaddish mean? It has nothing to do with death, first of all. We all know that, right? There's been books and books written about how Kaddish has been therapeutic, even though it doesn't talk about death. And it's indeed a problem. You know, if this has to do with death and helping someone that's dead, why doesn't it say the word death in there? But long story short, Yitzkada v'Yitzkada Shmei Rabba talks about God's name being great and once again being sanctified in the world, and we will be, and etc. The bottom line is that Kaddish should have been said by anyone. How do I know that? Do we have a precedent where someone says Kaddish who's not a Yatam, who's not saying it for someone that died? Let's say you take a 13-year-old. And the 13-year-old has two healthy parents and two healthy grandparents and two healthy great-grandparents on both sides. And you say, Daven Mincha. And he gets up there and he davens Mincha. He's pretty good at it even though he's stumbling over a few words. And at the end of Mincha he says, Kaddish Tiskabel. Is anyone in the room going to say, hey, you can't say that? Oh, your parents are alive, your grandparents are alive. No, of course not. So if you would have asked me, I would have said the same thing. However, the minhag is that we don't say Kaddish Yatom unless we asked our parents' permission. Not because of the heebie-jeebies per se, but rather because of the association that I just established that the Ramah talks about with the fact that you're saving them from Gehenna. That when they depart from this world, if your parents allow you to, you can say Kaddish. So therefore, what we usually do in a shul is we tell someone that already said Kaddish in his life, unfortunately, you say Kaddish.
But isn't Kaddish just Kabbalah in a different category?
It is. But that, indeed, would have said that if you can say Kaddish Tiskabel, most of the words are the same. There's only one difference between Kaddish Tiskabel and Kaddish Yatam. What's the difference?
Tiskabel.
One addition, Tiskabel, but they're exactly the same. And therefore, if you would have asked me, I would have said, yeah, of course you could say Kaddish. What's the problem? You're just taking out one sentence. However, that's the general custom, and that's what we usually do. However, because of this general custom, unfortunately, the halacha, in my opinion, has been a bit tarnished because people are very scared to say Kaddish. And therefore, because of it, you're supposed to say Kaddish. There's an absolute halacha to say Kaddish, and people don't for one reason. What's the reason? It's so associated with that we don't say it if our parents are alive. So again, Kaddish is part of davening, Kaddish Yatom. If you learn Torah, you say Kaddish Derabbanan. If you don't learn Torah, you don't say Kaddish Derabbanan. And therefore in Chutz Laaretz, in Nusach Ashkenaz, when they don't say Enkel Okeinu every day,
after Aleinu,
they don't say Kaddish after Aleinu of Kaddish Derabbanan. They only say the Kaddish, what we call Kaddish Yatom. Kaddish Yatom is part and parcel of davening. It has to be said even when there isn't a Yatom there. Who should say it? Now, if you have a Yatom, they get the right of way. If you don't have a Yatom, someone else should say it, preferably someone that already has said Kaddish in the course of his life. However, and this is the last thing I wanted to say, that is the halacha. That's what should be done in every single davening. However, we have to remember that when we do so, one thing. When I said the right of way, why did I say that? Because once upon a time, there wasn't a situation where everybody who lost a parent said Kaddish. There was a situation that one person said Kaddish. Now that proves the point that we made this morning, that it's part of davening. We give the right of way to someone to say it. Just like the Kaddish or the Chazan of Tiskabel, we don't have the whole congregation say it. One person says it. So ultimately, one person said it because one Kaddish for the entire Tzibor. One laning for the entire Tzibor. One Kaddish for the entire Tzibor. One Chazara Tashatz, as it's called, for the entire Tzibor. One Kaddish for the entire Tzibor. Therefore, there were actual laws and regulations who says Kaddish. There's a siman in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Avelus, that talks about who has the right to say Kaddish on a given day. Let's say you have a guy who's in the middle of Shloshim, and a guy who has a Yortzeit, who says Kaddish? So how do we know these laws? Not because of Kaddish. It's interesting what happened. We know these laws as for a different reason. Who's the Chazan? Which, by the way, is not written in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have a father or mother departed, you have to be Chazan. That's not written. By the way, certain Sephardic communities is not even done, meaning it's not even part and parcel of their year. But if you would have, again, the laws of who has the right of way is based on one Kaddish. If it was two, three, there wouldn't be a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about it. So we know that from who davens for the Yomud, but quite frankly, there was one Kaddish per person. And there used to be fights. Who gets the Kaddish? Yortzeit versus Shloshim. Shloshim versus year. Year with that. Okay? Those are rules and regulations that are brought in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know where they were established, but the bottom line is that that proves to you that there is one Kaddish per person. So therefore, to sum up, there's a Kaddish at the end of davening. It should be said whether there's a Yatom or not. We give the right of way to a Yatom. If there isn't one, then you should preferably get someone that already said Kaddish. And if you have no one like that, you should get someone to ask their parents to give you permission to say Kaddish, because Kaddish is part of davening when you daven in a minyan. Yes?
So why is it that after learning the 10 men shouldn't say Kaddish each time that the 10 men learn together?
Why shouldn't you? Why not?
Why not?
I was told that because downstairs in the Sephardi Hebrew Kollel, they always say Kaddish after learning, even though there's no morning there. We, in our Rambam, Tuesday, like last night, we have 10 men, we don't say Kaddish. And I was told, well, Ashkenazim don't say, Sephardim do say.
I don't know if this, it comes down to the Ashkenazi Sephardi lines on this issue. I think it just has to do with what people do. I mean, there's a lot of things around Kaddish.
Like you said, don't say too many.
The only reason why you wouldn't say Kaddish is if, under the assumption that if you indeed are not saying what's called the halacha psuka, meaning you end with a clear conclusion, then maybe you shouldn't say Kaddish because people are still confused. What's the halacha? But ultimately, yes, I think the Kaddish should be said. You're right. There's something with the custom of the Jewish people not to say it induced. But on the other hand, if you do learn together, why not? Say Kaddish.
Well,
Kaddish Al Yisrael, of course.
Yeah.
Al Yisrael Vara Rabbanan.
Yeah. Can you explain why Nusach Sfarad seems to have a different approach about Kitzon? In other words, if there's no mourner there, I've noticed in our Binyanim, they don't say
I see it many, many times again. I don't know what it's based on. I know what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say, and I don't know what it's based on not to say Kaddish at all. It's in the Siddur, and they don't say it. Because again, it's not that the Yatom has to say Kaddish, so he's using us to fulfill his obligation. We do have a precedent of that in Halacha Hagomel. In Hagomel, you have to say it within a minyan of 10. But it's your business. It's not anyone else's business. You're not motzi yedei chovah the people. You have to say agoma because you almost were killed and you weren't killed. Case scenario. Okay, you were in a car crash, you came out alive. So you want to say agomel, and you have to say agomel as a matter of fact. You need 9-10 people to say amen. Okay. That is using the people for your own benefit. But Kaddish Yotam, you're not using the people to say Kaddish for your father, afuch. You're saying Kaddish because it's part of the minyan. Albeit, the people are nice to you and they give you the right to say it because you have another motive to say Kaddish.
What about, depending on the shul, but at the end of davening, for example, on Rosh Chodesh, and you have the Yom and Barchi Nashi, or...
Right, that's already customs. Customs based on various things, how many Kaddishes. If you would have asked me, I would have said to put them together.
Right.
But to be more precise, I would say as follows. With Barchi Nafshi and Shir Shel Yom, there's a lot out there, and there's a lot of literature on it, and it's very interesting how this part of davening has taken so much literature. But if you want my honest-to-goodness opinion, I would say like this. The Shir Shel Yom was said on the Korban Tamid Shel Boker. So if it was today, Wednesday, they said, Ayom Yom Revi'i B'Shabbos, El Nekamot Hashem, El Nekamot Ofiyah, etc., on the Tamid Shel Shachar. If today was Rosh Chodesh, they would bring the Musaf, and they would say a Shir Shel Yom on the Musaf, let's say Baruch Hinavshi. Okay? Shabbos, they would say, bring the Tamid Shel Boker, and they would say, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. And what would happen at Musaf? This is a harder one. They're saying Anim Zmirot. They got a kid. A kid that squeaks and mixes up the words. Now, I don't think in the Beis Hamikdash they got a kid fighting in Smiros. They would read a part of Parshat Ha'azinu every single Shabbos. Right. And after six Shabboses, they would go back and start again. Right. Therefore, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's written at the end of the Chelek Dalet of Mishnah Berurah, in a very skinny Chelek. Most of it talks about Eruvin, so no one looks at it. At the end of it, it's Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, and most people don't learn that, because what do you got to know about Rosh Chodesh? And at the end of it, it says something about, oh, by the way, there's special Kriyat HaTorah during the year. We have these four Parshas, we have various Haftoras, what happens when the two clash, etc. And then all of a sudden, he said, and Hazinu, when you read Hazinu on Shabbos, you have to divide it like they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rosh table of dividing it is Haziv Lach, Hey Zayin Yud Vav Rashi Tevot Lach Lamet Kaf Sofit. So you cannot on Parshat Ha'azinu change the aliyahs, add in an aliyah. You have to exactly divide it up like they did in the Beis Hamikdash. You can't add aliyahs. You can read the Parsha 14 times, but you can't read the Parsha 8 times and divide it up there. At the end of Parshat Ha'azinu, we have another paragraph that you can divide up any way you want. But the Ha'azinu, the Shira, not. So they used to bring a Tamid Shel Boker with the Shir Shel Yom, of Mizmar Shul Yom HaShabbos, and they would say Ha'azinu on the Tamid Shel, on the Musaf. So if you ask me, what would they do in Rosh Chodesh, I would have said as follows. After Shachris, you should say whatever the day is, Yom Rivi B'Shabbos, and after Musaf, you should say Baruch Nafshi. But for whatever reason, we put them all together. And I didn't understand why, and I still don't understand why, because that has to do with Musaf, and this has to do with Shachris. If you ask me my honest to goodness opinion, then since Shachris and Musaf are different, perhaps a Kaddish Yatom is in place for after Shachris, another one after Musaf. That's what I think should have happened. Now, why is it that we put it all together? You want my honest opinion?
What's your honest opinion?
My honest opinion that in Israel we have a tendency to put a lot of things together to get it over with. Correct. Such as Barchi Nafshi and Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos and Anan Zmiros all together at once. Just get it out of the way. Okay? I'll tell you what I'm basing myself on. Hoshanos. Hoshanos is a throwback to the Beis HaMikdash when they used to go around the Mizbeach seven times. So if you would have asked me, where is Hoshanos and Davening, I would have said, after Musaf. Because when you talk about Beis HaMikdash, then after Musaf, you take out your Luv and Etrog, and you do it. And indeed, Nusach Ashkenaz Shuls do that on Sukkot. They take the Luv out for Hallel, they put it back in, they lane, they say the Haftorah, they say all the prayers for the state, for the president, for everyone else. They go on, they give the rabbi speech, then Musaf, and then after Musaf, they do Hoshanos. And that's what I would have done. However, in Israel, everyone there knew him. Okay, lulav's already out. It's in your hand. Why put it back? Take it out. It's too much trouble. So let's just keep it out. I always wondered why that we have this, but that's the way it is. So therefore, if you would have asked me about the Kaddish Yatom vis-a-vis what you said about the Shir Shoyom, I would have said that Baruch Nafshi should have been said together with Musaf, because that has to do with the Korban Musaf. And Shachris, he would have said the Shir Shoyom of Shachris. But the Jewish people went out, and that's not what they do.